Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning as believers for all that is ours in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for what this church has been learning over many months from the book of Ephesians concerning our riches, our wealth, our identity in Christ, all that we are and all that we have in Him. Lord, this morning, as we are reminded that all of that is in us, Christ is in us, Lord, may we be caught up in it. May we worship you today. May anyone in our midst who does not yet have Christ in them be drawn to understanding and faith today and receive Jesus as the one who dwells in them. Thank you, Lord, for this great truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been looking now for several weeks at mysteries revealed in the New Testament. We looked at the mystery of Christ and His church in Ephesians chapter 5. We looked last time at the mystery form of the kingdom, Matthew chapter 13. And we look today at the mystery of Christ in the believer. These mysteries, things which were hinted at but not clearly explained in the Old Testament, but now are clearly explained in the New Testament. These mysteries are mysteries that Paul counted as a great privilege to reveal. Now, for those who are saved, you say, well, Christ in me, that was one of the first things I learned when I became a believer. Of course, He lives in me. Why is it a mystery? Okay. Explain it. Can you? Can you? And Paul is helping to explain some of that to us here this morning. So Jesus in you, it is a mystery, and in this sense, it is the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus' Spirit who makes it so that Jesus, whose glorified physical body is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, yet at the same time, He can live in you. The Holy Spirit does that, indwelling you as the Spirit of Christ. You know, that's a great gift, isn't it? A great gift. So that's what we're looking at today, the mystery of Christ in you. Now, again, the expression of Paul's mystery, chapter 1, verses 24, 25, and 26. The expression of Paul's mystery is the church. He says in verse 24, his body, which is the church. Verse 25, of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God. Verse 26, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations has now been manifested to his saints. The church, the body of Christ. That's the expression of this mystery. And we won't go back through that because we dealt with it a couple weeks ago from Ephesians chapter 5, the mystery of Christ and his church. But as we apply that to this passage this morning, here's an amazing thing. Say, well, Christ is in me, yes. But this is the church. And there are people who are believers, and Christ is in each one. So, Christ is at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and Christ is in me, and Christ is in you, and you, and you. Say, well, how can he be all of those places at the same time? It is a bit of a mystery, isn't it? And it happens by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we've spoken of that when we talked about the church. So the expression of this mystery is the church. The essence of Paul's mystery, verse 27, is Christ in you. Look at verse 27. To make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is this mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, in you. Now, you want to read the word you and say, well, that's about me. Yes, it is. But the word you is plural. It's Christ in those of us who believe. It's Christ in his church. Is it Christ in you as an individual? Yes. But that's also true of every other believer. Christ in you. Chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. full assurance of understanding in a true knowledge of God's mystery. What is that? Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All of the treasures in Christ, treasures of wisdom, treasures of knowledge, all of those things that the believer has in Christ, the beginning of the book of Ephesians. All of that, that is in Christ. And the believer has Christ in them, which means the believer has all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in them. Glance down at chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. In Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete. He is the head over all rule and authority. In Christ you have been made complete. In Christ you have the full assurance, verse 2, of understanding. You have a true knowledge of God's mystery. You have the knowledge of Christ Himself in you. That's the essence of Paul's mystery. Say, well, to me, this is like spiritual baby food. Really? Really? Do not ever get over this mystery. Do not ever recover from it. It is such a supernatural thing that you would have Jesus in you by His Holy Spirit. That's a supernatural thing. Say, really? Yes, really. You won't have surgery open up your body cavity, someone search around and find Jesus in there. So, well, then how is He in there? The answer is supernaturally. That's a supernatural thing. You have supernatural life. Jesus Himself, the life of Jesus in you all the time. As a believer, it can never be lost. It can never be diminished. It can never be taken away. In you. That's the essence of Paul's mystery. Now, all of this gives us then the basis for what Paul is talking about in this whole passage, which is the endeavor of his ministry. His ministry is all about the revealing of this mystery. The endeavor of Paul's ministry. Notice the pains Paul went through to carry out his ministry. Chapter 1, verse 24, there is suffering. Paul suffered. He went through afflictions in order to carry out his ministry. Paul engaged in striving, that is, working hard. Chapter 1, verse 29. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, by the indwelling power of Christ. Paul worked hard. He was striving in order to communicate this mystery all about the person of Jesus. And Paul engaged in struggling. Chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf. To help people to learn and to grow in Christ is a struggle. It was a struggle for Paul. Say, well, didn't everybody just want to line up and hear everything Paul had to say? No, he had to struggle to get it through to them. So Paul, in his suffering, in his striving, in his struggling, goes to great pains to carry out his ministry. Now, the heart of Paul's ministry was proclamation. This is the very heart of it. Proclamation. Chapter 1, verse 25. I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. What was at the heart of Paul's ministry? Preaching the Word. Teaching the Bible. The Word. Proclaiming this Word. This Word that's all about the mystery, verse 26, hidden but now manifest to the saints. And verse 28, Paul says, we proclaim Him. Preaching the Word, proclaiming Jesus. You know, that's a summary of Paul's ministry. Preaching the Word, proclaiming Jesus. That's a summary of New Testament church ministry. Preaching the Word, proclaiming Jesus. So what else? Preaching the Word, proclaiming Jesus. That's what the Lord uses. Proclaiming Him. Preaching the Word. That's what the Apostle Paul was all about. Now, why? The purposes for Paul's pains that he went through and his proclamation, preaching the word, proclaiming Christ. Why? Verse 26 and 27. The first purpose is to make known the glory of this mystery. This mystery is Christ and His church. Verse 26, the mystery that had been hidden in the past has now been manifest to His saints. Paul's making it known. To whom God willed to make known. Well, what does God will to make known? The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul goes through great pains to preach, to proclaim, to communicate how glorious this mystery is. Paul might say it to us this morning, something like this. I could go on word upon word upon word for hours and still not exhaust the beauty and the glory of what it means for Jesus to be in you. Describe it. Paul says, it's a glory. And I'm making it known. I'm making it known so that you will know it. Purpose number two, verse 28. To present every person complete in Christ. Now, we have to take every person in context. This is every person in the body of Christ. This is not Paul saying, my purpose is to make sure that every human being on planet Earth is presented complete in Christ. I mean, that might be great, but you do realize Paul didn't get there in doing that. Neither will anyone else. This is not every person on the planet. This is the church. This is the body of Christ. And the purpose of Paul's ministry is that everyone in the body of Christ will know and understand that they are complete in Christ. And Paul's saying, you know, someday, at the rapture, I'm presenting the body of Christ back to Jesus as His bride. And when I do, I want to be sure that that body is complete. That they know who they are in Christ They know what they have in Christ. They know their riches, their fullness in Christ. Paul says, I want to present everyone that way. And that is a purpose for all ministry. Whatever your ministry is, are you building up one another? The body of Christ. Is it being built up through you? That was Paul's ministry. So to make known the glory, verses 26 and 27, to present every person complete in Christ, verse 28. His third purpose, to encourage believers in their lives in Christ. And Paul says, this is chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, even those he hasn't met yet, he still wants to encourage them. You know, wasn't something we asked for, but do you realize the ministry here has been encouraging for months now many more people that we haven't even met yet? Some of you are watching online today. We want this word to be an encouragement to you. Paul says, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged. Now, with what is Paul encouraging their hearts? There's a truth in verse 2. Having been knit together in love. Now notice that's something that is already accomplished. When you get saved, your heart was knit together in love with every other believer. Having been knit together in love, Paul's encouraging them, saying, do you know what? You're all knit together in love. Some of them could say, well, we haven't even met each other yet. Okay, but Paul says, it's true. I barely know that person. I don't even know their name. Well, but it's true. Knit together in love. Paul's encouraging them. Of course you operate with one another on a foundation of love. That is what you were born again into. Knit together in love. And most of our versions don't really capture this well. Having been knit together in love, and to all the wealth. The word attaining shouldn't be there. In the translation, you can see it's in italics. If you have something like that there. In other words, you've been knit together in love, and you've been knit together to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding in a true knowledge of God's mystery. You have been knit together with all of your wealth, your riches, your new identity in Christ. Now, we're not going to review Ephesians this morning, but maybe some of you should go home and review it again and be reminded of everything you have, everything you are in Christ. It's your wealth. You should have, verse 2 says, a full assurance of understanding of that. Say, well, I know I have a whole bunch of stuff in Christ, I just don't understand it. Well, Paul says, you better, because your understanding of it is what gives you encouragement. A full assurance of understanding in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself. Jesus in you. Do you understand who He is? Do you understand? All the fullness of deity dwells in Him. Therefore, all the fullness of deity is in you as a believer. You understand this mystery. You understand Christ and all His treasures. Verse 3, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and that's in Christ, and therefore that's in you. You are complete in Him. And Paul wants to make sure you get that, and he's encouraging us in it. And this is New Testament ministry. Fourth purpose. To affirm that believers have full assurance of understanding in the true knowledge of God's mystery. We have full assurance in this, of Christ and all of His treasures. So, do you have Christ in you? Do you? There could be someone here this morning who would say, no, I don't. I don't have Christ in me. Therefore, I don't have this assurance. I don't have this knowledge. I don't have this wealth, this treasure, because I don't have Christ in me. But you do know that Jesus lived on your behalf, He died on your behalf to take the penalty, the punishment for sin, for your sin. By the way, sin must be judged. Sin must be punished. Don't get angry with God. A holy God must punish sin. He must. But do you know, Jesus took the punishment that you deserve. He took it on the cross. He died for you in your place and for your sin. And He rose again to give eternal life to all who will believe Him, who will receive Him. To give life. He is life. And He will dwell in you. He will be in you. Trust Him for that. Believe Him for that. And it will be yours. Eternal life, His dwelling in you. If you don't have Christ in you, you can have Him before you leave here today. You can have Him. If you do have Christ in you, you say, "Yes, I do." Are you conscious of that? Day by day, moment by moment, are you conscious of Jesus in you? If you are, worship Him today. Worship Him. Heavenly Father, as we consider this great truth, I pray now for anyone who has not yet received Jesus for their salvation. Maybe someone would even be saying this morning, "Yes, I want to. I desire to." How does that happen? What does it look like? Maybe just between you and God. Say something like this: "Lord, there might be a lot that I still don't understand. But I do understand that Jesus died for me, that He loves me, that He paid for all of my sin. Lord, I understand that. Lord, I understand that Jesus rose again from the dead and is alive now and gives me life, eternal life, when I believe, when I trust in Him. So, Lord, right now, the best I know how, I believe in Jesus for my salvation. Lord, I trust You. I take this salvation as a gift from Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for giving me eternal life. Thank you, Lord, that that very instant that I believed, Jesus is dwelling in me. Your Holy Spirit is in me. All of these riches are now in me. Lord, I thank you for that. Maybe someone just kind of prayed along with me. I hope this wasn't just me feeding you words, but it was you dealing with God, genuinely trusting in Jesus. But if that's you and you would say, today, I was just saved. I just believed. I have Jesus. I have salvation. We would love to pray for you and rejoice with you. If there's anyone like that at all right now, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, God knows, angels in heaven know, and they're watching in. But if you would say, you know, I just received Jesus for my salvation today, pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up wherever you are? Slip it up right back down. No one's looking except me so that I can pray for you. But anyone like that at all, here's my hand. I'm taking Jesus as my Savior today. Just give you a few seconds. Anyone at all? Heavenly Father, it's my prayer now that everyone here has trusted in Jesus. If there is yet one who has not, that you might continue working in them, drawing them to yourself. Lord, may now all who know Christ, who have this full assurance, who know the indwelling Savior, may they worship you in great joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.